Hi there, I'm Akash, founder of Windly, where we fix allergies for life. This is Founders and Builders, where I talk to people who are working hard to bring something new and meaningful into this world.
I'm here with Matt from Bonjoro. He styles himself as the Papa Bear for automating processes, but not relationships here. Matt, how'd you introduce yourself?
Pretty much. And then a hug.
A classic. Matt, to start this conversation off, why don't you do a quick introduction of Bonjoro and kind of how you found the core problem that Bonjoro addresses?
Yeah. So with Bonjoro, we run basically a video messaging tool. We've then taken that kind of further and we're starting to go after this loyalty space. We think there's a space to build essentially like a CRM with a loyalty kind of foundation to it. There's a much better way to build more loyalty with the customers you have and to drive more lifetime value from them by checking in and spending a bit more human time with those customers. And then the end of the funnel, utilize those customers to drive in new people through referrals, through testimony, through product testing, all that kind of stuff. The way we kind of came into the space is running an agency. We're based in Australia, I'm from the UK, clients overseas. So dealt with big brands. So generally New York, London, Paris, not Australia. When you do that, you have a sales funnel that is coming in predominantly overseas into a time zone when everyone's asleep. It's not easy. And I think when you come to enterprise sales, a lot of it's this, right? It's in person. And when you talk about agency and creative side, it's charisma, it's the pitch, it's turning up. Yeah. And that's a really big part of it. When someone comes in, interesting, because you built a bit of an online funnel and the first thing they're getting is like some email onboarding, you just lose 90% of that. Like 80-90% of the communication we do is not in the words that we use. It's in the tone of voice, it's in the facial expressions, it's in our gestures, it's in the cadence, it's in all that kind of stuff. Looking to try and break that. And the whole team was the same. We thought, look, well, the best interaction we could possibly give somebody is in person. The second best thing we could do is turn up at least a little bit in video. So what we would do is we'd get those leads every night. And then in the morning, I used to take a ferry to the city, yeah, across Sydney Harbour. So you go past the Opera House and we get leads. I put my phone, I do a video for every single lead that came in. So we'd have like John Archer from Budweiser would sign up. I'd be like, hey, John, we've worked with Heineken. We've worked with Pernod Ricard. This is what we do. Check it out. It's the Opera House. My name is Matt. I'll be in New York in 4 weeks time. Love to come in and see you. And we get that video. It'd be that quick, like 30 seconds. We ended up building up, because we did quite a lot. We built like a little funnel where we just basically edit it, host it on Amazon, send it out in an email. It's the first piece of comms we'd ever get would be this video from us. And we time it onto their time zone as well. So we kind of built it in. We triple that conversions overnight and people would come back and they go, look, we can't really understand you. There's a lot of wind. There's a seagull in your hair. I heard you mentioned Heineken, but this is hilarious. And they were like, look, you should absolutely come in. I heard you mention that you're in New York in 3 weeks time. And then we walk in the office and I go in there and everyone would be like, you're the guy on the boat. And so you walk in there, everyone would already know you and the conversation would be already like half sold. And they're looking at you and they go, well, the agency's obviously shown up for your creative, showed that we cared, showed that we would take time. But the reality was once we'd actually built this little function, it was only 30 seconds of time. How much time do you need to buy a relationship? It's pretty small. Long story short, one client asked if they could use this system. So he built something they could utilize. When they started using it, obviously they sent it out. There's a natural product-led growth funnel here that they send it out. People see that. They came in, asked if they could use it. We put a little paywall in. 12 months later, we just kind of sat on it. We realized we had something. And then 12 months after that, overtook the original business. So that's kind of how we started. And then we look at that and we go, look, it's not actually about video. We always say we're not a video company, which is kind of unusual because that's a primary tool. But it's actually about turning up, right? So you're turning up to a customer and you're showing face and you're trying to get a bit of that coffee shop interaction, a bit of that kind of pitch interaction as a first piece of comms, because you only get one chance to make a first impression. And then where you go after that is obviously up to you. But that's the crux of it. It's actually all about sparking a great first impression, which starts to build loyalty and gives you the best shot of converting that customer.
That's absolutely brilliant. Thanks for taking me through that journey. You'd get a lead in and then you're going to be reviewing your leads in the morning anyway while you're on your commute. You might as well make them a video. I think you've already highlighted a insight that you have that I think a lot of people miss, which is video is great, but what video is really enabling is a connection, a human connection where you're saying, hey, I care about this more than just an email, right? This is something that's actually showing up. I made this video for you. Yes, I'll take this conversation. You know, when you started, video was not as happening as it is now. Now video is everywhere, especially short form video with Loom and TikTok. Loom on the business side, you got Gong and Chorus recording every single sales call. On short form video, you have YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels and TikTok, and that's taken over the world. But Bonjoro, it's pre-pandemic, it's pre-video kind of taking everything over. It's more 2017, 2018. What made you really realize that this approach of connections and connections really being supercharged by video. When did that spark hit outside of, or was it just a story that you shared with me?
So that nothing happens like by fluke. We already worked in video. So the work we were doing with that agency, we did a lot of research by video. So we've been playing video since 2011, I think, on mobile. So we basically got into mobile video when it first came out. And what we were doing was qualitative research where we'd have shoppers go out on, with their mobile phones and do shopping on camera, in stores, going into their cupboards, pulling out products, testing products, all that kind of stuff on video. We understood video as a data source, which is interesting. And then what you see when you do that is you go, actually, there's also human sides as well, right? There's the emotions you get. When you do research, you're not so much about what people say, it's what they're thinking and what they're saying when they're boxing it, like what they're looking at and stuff. I think subconsciously, we knew the power of video and the idea of now everyone's got a video camera in their hand. This device here is your best friend, right? This comes with you on your commute to work, it goes into the office, it goes to the toilet, it goes everywhere with you, right?
Yes, we take our
phone. So the way we behave with this versus a computer is very different, right? Most people all versus a camera. Video is always on a pedestal, it's the role of film. And then suddenly that starts to get broken down. Where we were very early in it, we were paying people to do research and that's why they would do it. That slowly starts to change. Come back to the first point I said about sales in enterprise and agency. It's a relationship-based piece. You have to have the work, but you know, you're also selling yourselves because if you're a consultant, if you're doing work yourself, like you are the product, right? You have to get that across and say, hey, we're playing with video, we're doing sales. It just made sense to do that test, right? Like it was only ever a test. You know, things say, will this work? And I think you'll hear about every business in the world, right? Timing is crucial. And we tried other video plays and other things before this and we'd failed on a few things. We ended up in research because that was an area where video could be done because we were paying people to do it. And then suddenly you start to have this change where suddenly people are going, oh yes, I am using things like Instagram and other mobile video things.
Right.
It wasn't Skype that did it. I wouldn't even say it was Zoom. I think it's when people really start to use video on these devices. That's when the change happened because there's a hump to get over for everyone. You probably wouldn't remember it now, but when people first started doing video, you see yourself on video, there was still this, I think, subconscious thing of the video on the pedestal. People had to get over relaxing and being themselves.
Right.
And that, I think, went on mobile devices, not on desktop first for a lot of people.
No, I think that's totally true. I think you even see it now when people take a video call on their computer versus on their phone. If I say that you're going to FaceTime somebody, that has a different emotional component than if you're going to Zoom somebody, right? I don't want to Zoom 100%. People, but I want to FaceTime people. I don't actually have an iPhone, but it's the same idea.
I try and like Zoom my parents because I'm a UK and they're overseas. And I'm like, get on Zoom, call is better. It's much better. And they can't do it. They're like, I'm on Facebook or WhatsApp and they're walking around and I'm like, okay, fine. Don't worry about it. Like you said, there's a different emotional feeling that comes with it. But again, it all comes down to that. That's been the training ground. And then Zoom came in and now here we are. Most people are like us where they're completely comfortable on video. We don't think it's weird anymore to look at ourselves this much. It's a great thing. I mean, where do we go next year? VR, AR is going to be interesting to play out over the next kind of 10, 20 years.
Do you feel that video reduces spam right now, at least? Because it's more authentic than just getting a text message or an email.
Authenticity is everything, right? Trust has become a challenge. Trust has always been a challenge.
Right.
I think with any medium subject to abuse, right? Mm-hmm. So what you'll see is when we all got into email, it was amazing. And I think we all went through this cycle where we're happy actually not talking to people. We're like, oh, great, everything's online. This is amazing. And then that started to get abused. SMS, same thing. Initially, it was extremely good. Now it's starting to get abused a bit more. And there are better laws in place, but again, there's still subjects to that. Videos, next where it's hard to fake. Again, this will change. Obviously, with like deep fakes not coming through, where do you go there? Are there potential trust issues there that there might be down the line? I think there's a lot of work to be done around authenticity of communication. I think the video lends itself where it is much more believable. Given again, 5-10 years, you'll be able to fake a lot of this. We then need to have a look at other protocol, have to put in place so we know what to trust. So it's not just the medium that can do that. I think there's a lot more work to be done around trust in the space. But if we know we can trust, that's already a big step forward. And this is why things like referrals and stuff matter when purchasing. The reason we're talking here is because Casey introduced us, right? Yep. It's a really important piece. And that is trustworthy. I think it's a great time to be re-looking into loyalty and trust around customers because I think those that crack it, take e-commerce, massive boom, but now it's highly, highly competitive, right? How do you sell two widgets for two different companies, two different brands? And it's not going to be ads anymore. I think that's clear. It's going to be the ones who build a brand, who get customers to stay around and spend more, ultimately build loyalty and trust. And that needs a bit of human interaction, right?
Absolutely. I totally agree. It sounds like you had a really strong insight, and correct me if I'm wrong, around video is authentic video, much better than just email. And then you timed it with people's time zones. And that just was leagues better than like a boring drip campaign or a basic outreach? Is that correct?
Yeah. But like I said, it was a test, right? I think this is the thing when you start a company, always be testing it. I'm exaggerating. You probably do 50 tests to get one that really works. I think you'll get some that work okay. And you'll kind of do product stuff. You launch your product, you're like, everything's going to double. And then everything just goes up a little bit. I think the most important thing for like a founding team is you have to be in the mindset of like always be testing and measuring. And so when you test this stuff, it works. And obviously we had the insight and it was correct. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say we knew how effective it would be. I think it's because that's timing as well, right? So you've been playing a video for quite a long time. If you're playing something for healthcare or what kind of interesting stuff, if you're doing something for 10 years and you're a little bit early, if you keep at it, a lot of people say the most important thing about founding a business is you have to stay
alive. Because then,
yeah. And then you turns out you hit the right time. Yeah. And I was like, your time was amazing. You're like, yeah, we'll just forget the 5 years before that when the timing wasn't so good.
You're collecting knowledge. You're doing all your experimenting even during that time. That establishes a foundation. I believe video is the future also. I stick my co-founder, he's a doctor, and I just say, answer this patient question. We're just going to record you. And then that's so much easier, so much more human. It's actually easier nowadays to record yourself than it is to write a good email. And it's more human and people really resonate with that. Let's talk a little bit about this test. You tested this out. You felt like there was something there. What was your approach then when you're like, hey, this might be something? When you decide, let's double down here. And what did you say, like, is the success? And how did you find those first 10 clients?
So obviously the first client we ever had was a customer.
Right.
I think a couple of the customers asked about this. We put them on. It's not as simple as that. We put them on and then send the funnel built, right? We did a lot of like legwork and door knocking. We're based in Australia, which today is not our market. 99% of our sales are overseas. I love Australia. It's 20 million people, right? There's a natural cap there, right? But in those early days, it's a good testing ground. I mean, all stuff gets tested in Australia and New Zealand because it's kind of like off the radar. You're out of the way. Because it's smaller, you can walk into PwC, you can get into the banks, you can meet people a lot easier, I'd say. And so what you do in those early days is you actually have to hit the road and go meet every type of customer that you think could use this. We did trials with PwC on the enterprise side. We did trials with universities. We did trials with nonprofits, with financial advisory. We did the SaaS companies and we met most of those in person. Some were clients of the original company or some were people we'd met while building that business, who weren't nice to your clients, but just their friends and friends and stuff. And you just basically have to go in person. Like what you're looking for is your ICP, right? Like your ideal customer profile. Again, you don't necessarily know this at the time. You're just trying it out. You just have to hustle and hustle. And people will talk to you and they'll like the idea and you'll go build. And then whether they use it or not is the next dimension, right? Just because someone likes something doesn't mean they get in. Because you have to handhold those early days. And then when you launch a product, if somebody likes what you do, they use it. And in 3 months, 4 months time, they're still utilizing it on a weekly basis. They're still active in the product. And the product, excuse my language, is kind of shitty because it's an early beta, right?
I mean, when you're early, it's not what you have in your head.
It's not a beautiful thing yet. If they use that, then you've got something, right? And then if you can replicate that, then off the back of that, we essentially seeded. We actually met a few of our investors in that seeding process as well. We had a few clients and becoming investors, which will happen again, which is a vague sign of validation of the product.
Right.
We then had a natural product-led growth funnel account off the back of that. Certain customers would be great product-led growth, so certain ones wouldn't. So you have this dimension where we like, great customer, good LTV, stays long, doesn't get us any new customers. This customer is super low, and this is a whole loyalty thing. Super LTV, pain in the ass. But for every 10 videos we send, we get a new customer. So although the MRR isn't very much, actually much better customer in the long run, this is a whole loyalty thing.
Did you intentionally build your product for that built-in virality? Was that something you kept in mind, or was that something that emerged unexpectedly?
No, look, I'm a product person. That's my background. So I built it in understanding it would be part of it. Our previous business was completely different. It was an agency. Yeah? It was sales. So now we are smaller ARPU funnel SaaS. It was a big project based. Different teams, different attitude. Sales team versus market, completely different. We always try to build into it. And now, then when we realized we started to focus on it, I always think we were a bit slow on the uptake. Again, I look at a company who did this really well. I think Loom was extremely good at this. And I think they understood straight away the PLG side of it and they went kind of big and broad into the B2C space. I think they're a really good success story. And they really, really focused down that straight away. I think we were a bit slow where we didn't realize what we had until a bit later. Because I think our mindset was probably still in doing sales and converting and stuff. Right. So you have to shift. We now had two companies with very different brands, very different attitudes. Still us creators at the heart of it, but it's a different company to run. You have to hire different people. You have to change your mindset. We've always done like a B2C brand in a B2B space, whereas in professional services, you don't do that, right?
No, not at all.
I love to say this is all absolutely planned out. So back to testing, you're going to try a lot of stuff. That doesn't work if you don't pick up when you get your breaks.
Right.
This is the data side of it. You need to be able to recognize when something is working. And you need to be able to recognize the leading indicators versus the lagging, right? If you wait until you've got revenue potential, that's too late on. You need to understand what's happening here. Mm-hmm. So tracking where your traffic is coming from. Is it coming from the PLG piece? And just how much does that traffic convert to other sources, right?
Right.
If it converts 10 times the rate, that's your piece. Yeah, go down, go deep on that funnel. Again, it's a little bit hard when you look back and understand what you know now and try and pull it up. In those early days, it is very much you're testing and then you're looking for when you get repeatable success. And then the question is, how big is that a market or how big is that customer base? So is it worth investing in to go repeat it 1,000 times more?
It sounds like you've been able to repeat it a few thousand times more because you've been around quite some time.
Our customer base has changed a lot over that time.
Right.
E-commerce wasn't in our wheelhouse at all then. And then that market has changed. The markets are not stationary, right? Mm. And technology is not stationary.
Right.
And the world isn't stationary. And look at the last 5 years, best example ever. Look how much change we've been through, right? I think that's a really important lesson as well, is that it doesn't matter when you crack it. You may have to crack it again and again and again. Your first market is not necessarily your end market. This has happened multiple times in great companies. You need to be testing and noticing what's happening. And if your funnel changes, that's fine. You just need to change with it.
And that comes back down to the testing and the agility and everything that that offers you. I love your philosophy. I'm going to have to adopt it. We're going to change direction of the conversation a little bit. There are two questions I love to ask everyone that comes on. The first one is, if you go back to when you were starting your agency, not Bonjoro, but before that, what would you tell yourself as you started that journey of your life? You don't have a long time. You just have a few sentences to impart some wisdom.
I was going to say, I would tell myself this is a marathon, not a sprint. But then I wouldn't tell myself that because I've told myself that you wouldn't have the energy. You have to sprint. And then it ends up being a marathon of sprints.
Marathon of sprints. That's actually like, the real phrase.
The challenge of this question is I just don't know if I would listen to any advice I would give myself. I think you have to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think I would sit back and let myself do the same journey because you have to have hard mistakes that hurt.
Yeah.
Before the agency, you had another company where founders blew up and we lost money and went that whole ripping apart. The good thing then is that now you realize how important team is. I just don't think I would change it because without having made some stupid mistakes, I wouldn't be where we are today. Someone was like, you shouldn't do this. I'd be like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. That's the founder's curse. I think I'd probably just let things play out because you might upset it the wrong way. That's probably what I'd say. Mistakes are okay.
Mistakes are okay. It's itself is worth sharing.
Here's the point. You look back at every founder that has made to the stage where we are. You look at the cohorts, the ones that are still here, every single person has effed up and made mistakes. And everyone's made mistakes that can kill a company. Like multiple times over, everyone has run out of money at some point. They've had crucial team leave. They have founder breakups. They've messed up fundraising. Everything's happened. But the ones that are still here are the ones that keep suckers for punishment, keep getting back, right?
Yeah.
I do believe time in the game is really important because that's how you develop your expertise and that's how you develop your understanding. I would love to be where I am now at 25. I wasn't going to learn this much in that time. Some people do. I think some environments are faster paced. The West Coast is faster paced than Australia.
Oh man.
You like
don't come to the East Coast. We're going to be way too fast for you then.
You know, maybe I've done an extra year in the States. Maybe that's the only thing I would change. That's probably it.
It's very humble. I love that. What's one thing that surprised you throughout your journey?
The sheer amount of change. I think you have this mindset when you start, here is the plan and here we go. And then you look about 10 years later and you go, well, I didn't go to plan. It's fine, right? It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Right.
I feel like I'm saying all these cliche tropes here, but it's true, right? The journey is the fun part. And when you get there, I know founders who got there and sold or got there and hit success and they get bored, right? Everyone's like, oh, I'm going to take 3 years off. And like 6 months later, they're like, so I've got this other business that started and it happens every single time. Maybe your leaders out and disappear. It just doesn't happen. It's not about the money or the success at the end. It's about continual success. Keep coming, overcoming challenges. Otherwise it gets super boring. I don't think you realize how important that is until you get a bit older and having families and kids and team growing up and beat this. You realize that the game is everything.
The game is why we do it. I'm not that young, man. Probably a little younger than you. I don't have kids yet, but you're not talking to an 18-year-old here.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying you as in like plural you.
Yes, yes, like absolutely. Live for the challenge.
That's the part.
I like that. So is there anything you would like to share with the audience? Where can people find you? Who should be looking out for you? The mic is yours.
Two things. If you want to try out loyalty and try video and try connecting with customers in your funnel, especially if you're a SaaS company, then head to Bonjoro. Hop on board. You'll get a video from our team. So you can have experience it firsthand as well. Personally, if you want to reach out to me, go on LinkedIn, type in Papa Bear. my official title. I think there's two of us. I'm the guy in the bad seat. Reach out and hustle me. This is the other part. You need to find a network. You need to ask advice. You need to badger people. Not enough people do this. I think people are too nice or just don't get around to it. Ask and you shall receive. I've been extremely cheeky in my career. Half of where I am is because I've got advice from people who are much better at this than me. Try Bonjour. Reach out. If we can help, we will do.
Wonderful. I agree. I don't think people ask enough. I think people ask bad questions. If you put in a modicum of effort, I would repay that. I'm happy to spend 45 minutes on the time acting like I know what I'm talking about with a college student. Just some of the nonsense that we hear. One thing I wanted to ask you about is one thing we've struggled with. We're very video focused. If you go on our YouTube, we have literally hundreds of videos, our TikTok reels, all that jazz. We approached it because it was a content play, because we saw that there was no content out there for what we were talking about. And Google promotes, if you even have like a 15, 20 second video on your page, Google will rank it higher than anyone else. It was a very mechanical content play on our end, but also a lot easier for me to get my co-founder to do a 30 second video instead of a 1500 word article. We're struggling with expanding that into our emails and creating an engaging experience in the email. With Bonjour, I haven't signed up yet, but I'm going to do it after this call. It's the same deal where it's like a link to a hosted video.
It's not different. Look, it's more of a comms platform than a content
platform.
You can create videos and host them and then share those out just as like a side piece. So the comms part essentially plugs into your funnels. If you guys are using Intercom or Salesforce, HubSpot.
So we are e-comms. So we're in Klaviyo.
So you plug into Klaviyo. Yeah. And then essentially you set up a few filters. If lead quality is X, send into Bonjour, or just send everyone in. When that comes in, we'll notify our team. And the idea is just your CS team probably is checking in and saying, hey, John, I saw you came in. We also pull information from the CRM. So like you can go, hey, I see you've done steps one and two, but you haven't done steps three and four.
Right.
Look, there's a calendar booking. Like if you want to hop on with the team, have a chat through that. Or you can link a piece of content. There's a little message you do, and then there's the space for put videos and calendars below that. So you have a video and like watch this video on YouTube. Sure. So you can embed those videos in that system. It's very much that 20-second like little chat where you pull the information about the customer. It's a personalized intro. We have a testimonials product now, which is kind of the other end of the funnel, which is once you've got great customers, gather video testimonials, gather assets, and then basically embed those, kind of share them out. It is that more in the content page. One medium's not the answer. Video is a great medium, but you're going to need to use good text at some point as well. The best people who do video content, like join Wistia's blog. They've always done a really good job. Profitwell, I'd say, is the other one. Profitwell is like SaaS thing, but
I have a SaaS background, so I know Profitwell. I actually met Pat a while ago. He came out with a good bag.
Yeah, he's great. So Profitwell built a media company.
Yeah.
And then they bolted on a SaaS product.
Yeah.
Wistia did the same. So I think in terms of like the content side, those are the ones I would say to look up to within the space. The one that you see, like Wistia have always been video. I look at why they've been successful. They have tried every single content medium under the sun.
Yeah.
So it's testing. They just tested everything.
Yep.
Text, video, podcast guests, short form, long form, data, case study, the whole like white papers. And they basically worked out what works for them. It tends to be a blend of those pieces. When they do those messages, they're very short. The emails are very kind of concise, but they're always looking at content elsewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if they had one of the most active email lists in the world. Again, putting content into the messages is good. You've got to have a hook. I think keeping your messages shorter and driving straight to the content is the piece. Don't have 10 things in there, just have one. So if you've got a great video you're doing, quick recap and then link into it. Content's hard, right? Because you can produce all the content in the world, but you start to reuse that and direct the funnel to it and start to take people through.
I think content is hard like the first time, but once you know the story that you're selling, it's like that one story will drive everything through. It's just finding that story. Yeah. For us, it's been uncontrollable sneezing. Uncontrollable sneezing is the thing that took off for us, but like someone comes in, they click our blog post, they sign up. That really works well for us.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Sometimes I miss being in SaaS because it's a lot more personal. I have a background in six-figure enterprise SaaS. You go, you wine and dine somebody. It's a lot of human there. But in consumer, it's all about volume and like how many people can you get on? You see a lot more of these more surprising things pop up, at least in my experience.
But look at us, we are a funnel play. We're a mid-volume tool, really. So where we actually exist is in e-commerce, SaaS, and like online education, right? Those are our markets. It's systemized, but it's like 20 seconds of humanity again and again. You're getting your team to each do 10 videos a day and cover off 100 customers. And then you filter down for the leads that are worth spending that 30 seconds on. That's the idea. It is very much a process. Once it's set up, you get a notification, you do a video, you go back to work. That's kind of the way it works. But it does involve some time.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine. Because obviously, back to, is it worth spending 30 seconds on a lead? All leads equal, no. But if you hit the one,
then it's worth it.
That is the one. Yeah. It's your 100 minutes to get there. That's fine, right?
Yeah.
Which is why e-commerce was never something we ever thought we'd play in, because e-commerce is like selling widgets. Turns out it's not the amount of chat in e-commerce around lifetime value, retention, repeat purchase now. And that's been borrowed from SaaS. It's really interesting because people are realizing competition is no longer on the first sell. And then brand is really important. So how do you bring brand into that play? Stores could do this, bricks and mortar could do it, because you could talk to your come in, you can involve them in the experience a bit more. It can be a bit more experiential. Online, you've got to inject something a bit different into that. I think online gifting is really interesting as well. I think putting little notes in e-coms that they go out, handwritten stuff. I think little surprises and delight moments that every customer thinks is unique, but it's part of a funnel, right?
Yeah.
This is the key. It's going to be surprising, absolutely operationalized.
We put candy in our packaging. And so every time you get your medicine, you get some candy. So it becomes a joyful moment instead of like, oh, what's happening?
I live on the bush on the outskirts of Sydney. So I bought a machete for going out and cutting these back. The guy sent the machete, sent the handwritten note in calligraphy with some sweets.
Where that was going.
I thought it's hilarious. It's brilliant. I was like, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, it makes a story out of it, like, right? It turns a boring moment into a story, which makes a memory, which is a very human thing. Well, I love this conversation. I enjoyed meeting you. Might hit you up for that beer. Depends. I hope you have a great day.
If you're in the city, come and say hi. It'd be great to meet you. Otherwise, have a great day. Anything we can help with, hit up me or Casey anytime. We're around 24/7.
Okay.
So, whatever you need.
Thanks so much. Goodbye, Papa Bear.
See ya. All right. Bye, mate.
This episode of Founders and Builders is brought to you by Windly. At Windly, we fix allergies for life with personalized treatment plans that train your body to ignore your allergies. Our doctors use allergy immunotherapy to train your immune system to ignore its allergy triggers. By exposing you to naturally occurring allergens in gradually increasing doses, we fix the root cause of your allergies. Plus, the entire Windly experience is convenient and easy, with telehealth visits and medicines sent right to your door. You never have to go to a doctor's office. If you want to live without allergies, then visit windly.com. That's WYNDLY.com. Remember, life's better without allergies. Thanks for listening to Founders and Builders. Make sure to subscribe and share this episode with a friend. You can find more episodes at akash.io. That's AAKASH.io. Or just find Akash on Twitter.